It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Oh, yes. Sorry. Hello, hello. Welcome, welcome, one and all. It is a... Oops. Yeah, I did. It did end up lurking in comm. My bad. Hello, hello. Welcome, welcome, one and all. It is 1900 UTC here in a beautiful Tuesday, September the 19th, 2023. 1900 on September the 19th. Can't get any better than that. It's 33 degrees here in Austin, Texas, with a high of 34. Low was 22, but it was real humid. It was kind of gross. I tried to go outside for a little bit. Programming note, stick around at 2300 UTC today, tonight. Praise Then Darkness, episode 98, with DJ Northern Lights will be coming on. So, stick around for that. Last week was a repeat, so this should be a fresh, new, hot off the presses new show. So stick for that. I'm trying to clear my throat, but it's a bit of a hassle. We'll get there. Well, there's a lot of news, but before we get into it, I've got a meta kind of story here, I guess. It's about tea. Tea is something that our good friend Tobe, who has a show every goddamn day at 1930 UTC here on and on radio. What? What happened? Oh. I'm like, what's going on? Quentin in comm was like, OMFG. I can already tell this is going to be a shit show. And then rage quits. Anyway. Let's make sure it's going out, I guess. I think I'm going out. I should scroll back and calm. I could see what's going on. Oh, someone dropped a meeting on Quentin. That's why. Good luck. Meetings ruin. Meetings kill lives. Anyway, sorry about that, buddy. All right, so let's talk about this meta piece of information. Old tea forests in China's Pu'er gain UNESCO World Heritage Site status. That's right, the cultural landscape of old tea forests of Jingmai Mountain in China's Pu'er City has gained World Heritage Site status at the ongoing 45th session of the World Heritage Committee of UNESCO in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. It is China's 57th entry to the list and the first World Heritage Site related to tea. The newly named heritage site, which is located in Langkang Lahu Autonomous County in Pu'er, Yunnan Province, comprises five large-scale, well-preserved old tea forests, which stand 1,250 meters to 1,500 meters above sea level. Three protective barrier forests and nine ancient villages in the old tea forests that are mainly inhabited by the Blong and Dai ethnic groups. The cultural landscape was jointly created by the ancestors of the Blong people who immigrated to the Jingmai Mountain in the 10th century and later discovered and domesticated wild tea trees, and the indigenous Dai people. On the basis of long-standing practices, the local people developed the understory growing technique, which involves allowing shrubs or trees that are small and sufficiently shade-tolerant to thrive under the canopies of taller trees. The local people created ideal light conditions for growing tea trees and prevented insect infestation through a well-preserved forest ecosystem, thereby producing quality organic tea leaves without the use of pesticides and chemical fertilizers. During its 45th session, the UNESCO World Heritage Committee noted that the region bears an exceptional testimony to the understory tea cultivation traditions, which have enabled the development of a complementary spatial distribution of different land uses and providing ecosystems and microclimates that support both the cultivation of old tea forests and the well-being of communities residing in the organically evolved cultural landscape. So anyway, hey, Claudio, welcome, welcome. So this is just good. This is big news for those who love tea, especially if you love Chinese tea, that this is now a UNESCO heritage site. I like a lot of tea that comes out of Yunnan province, so very awesome to hear that. If you want to hang out and chat during the show, I've been talking about Calm a bit. Calm is short for Commode Chat, and all you have to do is SSH over to sdf.org. Once there, watch Commode by Calm by just typing C-O-M. Press enter. That'll start up the chat program. Then you just type G for go to, and then Anon Radio, all lowercase, all one word, and that will take you to the Anon Radio room. And then you'll be hanging out with all the cool people, like Claudio M and UserFXNet, Quentin, who may or may not be stuck in a meeting, the Z-Man, who acknowledged that meth is a hell of a drug, as long with, let's see, who else was here? Quentin Zerohoff and UserFNX were having chats. Thrig is in the house, as well as me, Marcus, Jeff, Claudio N. There we go. X1 isn't around. X1 is sleeping, but is around. Also WX Boss. So welcome. Welcome. Always feel free to join on in. And I guess at this point, I might as well tell you, 1930 UTC, 24 minutes away. Don't sleep on it. All right. X1 continues sleeping. Capital Z's. Hardeep Singh Nihar. Anger in India as Trudeau points finger over murder. So this is their first one just because it's kind of an interesting, a little convoluted there. Every goddamn... That's what I sound like when I sleep. Okay. Memories of the decade-long armed armed Sikh insurgency, which peaked in the 1980s and which thousands of people died, remained strong in India. So when Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau accused Delhi of involvement in the death of a Canadian Sikh leader, many Indians reacted angrily. Mr. Trudeau said Canadian intelligence was looking at credible allegations potentially linking the Indian state to the murder of Hardeep Singh Nihar, a prominent campaigner for a separate Sikh homeland who was shot dead on 18th of June in British Columbia. India has rejected the claim as absurd. As Delhi and Ottawa face off in their worst ever diplomatic row, Indian analysts, political commentators, and leaders have been sounding off on social media. Who would have thought? Yeah. Thrig pointing out Sikh as in L-Sikh. Okay, thanks. Let's see. So they're mostly using a particular one social media site to yell at each other. One user wrote that Delhi had been given a befitting reply to Canada, while another said the government had put Trudeau in his place. India's main opposition, Congress Party, which has recently rarely been on the same page with the government, also expressed support and said there should be no compromise of any kind in our country's fight against terrorism, especially when terrorism threatens the sovereignty, unity, and integrity of India. A prominent Sikh separatist leader, he was shot dead in his vehicle by two masked men in June in a car park of the Guru Nanak Sikh Gurdwara in Surrey, a city about 30 kilometers east of Vancouver. So, there's a little bit of a row going on. Mr. Trudeau was all mocked after a problem with his aircraft forced him to stay in Delhi 2 days extra. You may remember that we talked about it. It was kind of like, oops, my car won't start. Hold on. So, anyway, now let's talk about current active deaths and destruction and scary things that make people worried. Also, just in general, the world news. Seven people have died in a village in central Ivory Coast near Bouaké, where 59 others were hospitalized due to an illness of still unknown origin. The city name is Bouaké with an accent. Overland is on a legal/privacy call representing the security department. Gotta love it. Today is National Talk Like a Pirate Day. Arr, matey! It's a good one to bring into meeting phone calls. Good luck. Good luck, Overland. But if you do get called upon, talking like a pirate may help save your sanity. At least 7 people died, 5 at the University Hospital and 2 in Nyangban, a village located about 30 kilometers to the south. There's a total of 59 people hospitalized, mostly children and some adolescents. The symptoms are vomiting and diarrhea. Those who died are between 5 and 12 years old. Let's see, confirmed around 50 people were at the hospital on Sunday and informed that children were dying. A close friend of the chief indicated that, according to rumors, corn porridge was the cause of the contamination. Hey, Quentin. Hello. Good point. Good call out, Thrig. In version 7, AT&T Unix, it was renamed to LSeq for LongSeq due to a larger offset argument type. I read a great blog post today about why a payment system had switched to 128-bit numbers. Not 64-bit numbers, 128-bit numbers. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. A lot of systems have to split those into two words. You know, it's a multiple word kind of thing now. Anyway, if you remember in February, the village of Kapo Kankro, also close to Bueki, 2 people were sentenced to 5 years in prison after contamination with Clostridium, a bacteria which had caused 16 deaths, 21, according to the villagers. So, this was the same poison porridge country. So, that might be what's going on again, which is really sad. At least 8 are dead in a military helicopter crash in Kenya. A crash of a military helicopter in Kenya near the border with Somalia killed at least 8 people, officials said on Tuesday. The cause of the accident in Lamu County on the Kenyan coast was not immediately clear. Kenyan defense forces operate in the region to help deter Al-Qaeda-linked extremists from the Al-Shabaab group. The defense ministry said the Air Force helicopter crashed during a night patrol. A commission of inquiry was sent to the scene, and defense officials and police say that all military personnel and crew members aboard the helicopter died. Kenyan troops are also present in Somalia as part of the African Union transitional mission in Somalia to help fight Al-Shabaab. Kenyan forces deployed to Somalia in 2011, but there are now plans to withdraw multinational forces as Somali troops take over their country's security. So, we'll see what happens there, but that was a deadly helicopter crash. An update, just not an official story, but just an update. They did find a debris field they think is that F-35 jet. And what I think is amazingly fun or strange is yesterday, when I read all the stories, it's 80,000 euros or 80,000 pounds, one of those, but it was like 80,000 pounds or 80 million pounds, 100 million USD. But everyone who was I saw talking about it kept saying $80 million. So I'm not sure if people are just quoting each other over and over, or if maybe somebody just copied pounds over as dollars and didn't even bother talking about it. Because $20 million is a lot of money. Sorry, I'm coughing a little bit today because I need to drink more water. Tea would be better, but you got to do with what you work with. All right. So what else is falling out of the sky? Well, that's about it. But check this out. An Arkansas child in the United States has died of a rare brain-eating amoeba after playing at a country club. A child in Arkansas died after being infected with a rare brain-eating amoeba while playing at a splash pad. The child, whose name wasn't released, appears to have contracted the Naegleria fowleri from a country club splash pad in the state capital of Little Rock, Arkansas. Health officials in the county coroner said in a news release. It destroys brain tissue, causing brain swelling, and almost always death. It's an amoeba that lives in soil and warm, freshwater lakes, rivers, ponds, and hot springs. However, in rare instances, it's been transmitted to humans from swimming pools, surf parks, and other underchlorinated bodies of water. The Arkansas Department of Health said their investigation of the death concluded that a splash pad at the country club was to blame for the transmission. The club has since closed off the pool. Only about 3 people in the U.S. are infected each year, but these infections are usually fatal. The last case reported in Arkansas was in 2013. You said it, user FXNet. Brain-eating amoeba and bacteria scare the hell out of me. The F out of me. So, yeah. Very scary stuff there. The fatality rate is more than 97%. Only 4 people have survived from 157 known infected individuals in the U.S. from 1962 to 2022. So, rough way to go. Speaking of rough ways to go, a U.S. lawmaker has been diagnosed with a rare and incurable neurological disorder, forcing her to bow out from seeking re-elections in 2024. Democratic House Representative Jennifer Wexton has been diagnosed with progressive supranuclear palsy, a condition she described as Parkinson's on steroids. She was elected to represent Virginia's 10th Congressional District in 2018. Ms. Wexton said she was heartbroken to give up public service. New diagnosis is a tough one. There's no getting better with PSP. That's Papa Sierra Papa. Or, I guess, it'd be better to just say what the disease is. Progressive supranuclear palsy. The 55-year-old lawmaker, who was diagnosed with Parkinson's disease in April, had said at the time she would seek treatment and continue to serve in office. In her most recent statement, she said her symptoms had not improved in the way she'd hoped, and she discovered she had this atypical Parkinson's-like disease. So, it's a tough way to go, although it's a sad way to go out, for sure. Donald Trump is getting a little bit of backlash. Yeah, Quentin pointing out, never look at government budgets. The numbers are very numbery. Very true. So, is kind of why I was talking about that that blog post that was talking about 128-bit numbers. Something, this is just an aside, but yeah, Quentin, it's true. It's very terrible. At 55, to learn you have this kind of terrible disease that you're going to end your, it's going to end things. One of my friends, ham radio friends, has Parkinson's, and it was a real bummer because he's not even retired yet. He's like, he'll have to retire sooner or later. Anyway, the blog post I read was interesting because they were talking about how they use 128-bit numbers, and they used to use 64-bit numbers, but a 64-bit number, you run out of space. Especially because with financial stuff, a lot of times you want to use integers, a whole integer, and then you use a factor to determine where the cents, where you round off for cents. So, you know, the dollar would have, you know, multiply it by 100, but places like Hungary was it Brazil? Somewhere, Chile, I think, South America, there's several states, several countries that don't have cents. They just have whole dollars. So, you wouldn't want to use a multiplication factor. So anyway, I thought that was pretty neat. Donald Trump's in trouble again. Why? Well, because he's not as strongly anti-abortion as the extremists would like him to be. Donald Trump is famously this violent Christian nationalist extremist who's very, very popular in the United States. The president of Students for Life sent an open letter to former President Donald Trump, and they were dismissive of him. Donald Trump said the Florida 6-week abortion ban was a terrible mistake, and so then they got mad at him. He would support a 15-week federal ban, but he said they tried to get him to agree to a 15-week ban, and he couldn't. Crabs in a bucket is what Quentin said. Yeah, that's probably about right. I don't think the Republicans were prepared for the public's reaction. They had to do a complete 180, Ms. Donnelly said. Republicans are really struggling to figure out what to say. So far, the various members of the Republican field have tried different approaches to the problem to varying effect. Their base is still predominantly anti-abortion, but in a general election, that is an extremely unpopular opinion to have. So, it's an interesting phenomenon because the kind of the same way it goes both directions, right? Everyone can agree they don't like a certain idea, but then once they get to a certain point, everything splinters up. Once you get to the nitty gritty, right? Like, oh yeah, capitalism's bad, but then whenever you're like, oh okay, well we should sell all of the other houses you own. Oh no, I don't think that's a good idea. We don't get too excited. So we'll see what happens, what comes of this. Donald Trump or Joe Biden, either of them, if they got elected, they'd be the oldest presidents ever elected. And really, I don't know. There needs to be some kind of rule in the United States, if you ask me. There are so many people that are just demented and or so out of touch with reality. It's like, how are you in public office? A fentanyl package was found at a New York daycare center where a child died. A package containing several thousand dollars worth of fentanyl, it's hard to say what a several thousand dollars worth means, was discovered inside the New York City daycare center where a one-year-old child died from an opioid exposure last week. The owner of the daycare center maintained she had no knowledge of the presence of the drug, which sickened three other young children, including an eight-month girl who tested positive. The drug was found underneath a mat where the children had napped. The New York Police Department of Chief of Detectives said at a news conference on Monday morning. Oh, he gave the detail of where it was found. She operated the daycare inside a Bronx apartment and pleaded not guilty on Sunday to murder charges. A man who rented a room inside the apartment, 41-year-old Carlisto Acevedo Brito, was awaiting arraignment on the same set of charges. Police said they recovered about 1 kilogram of fentanyl, along with a press device used to combine the drug with other narcotics, inside the closet of a hallway connected to the apartment. A second press was found inside the adjoining room occupied by Brito, according to a criminal complaint. So, yeah. if you rent out your... If you're running a daycare, you need to really be extra careful on who you're renting it out to, I guess. But yeah, a kilogram of fentanyl is a significant amount. Jeez Louise. Germany has banned the neo-Nazi group, the Hammerskins. Germany has outlawed Hammerskins, a neo-Nazi group known for its role in organizing far-right concerts and selling racist music. The move set a clear signal against racism and anti-Semitism. The authorities raided the residence of 28 leading members of the group across the country. The Hammerskins, not surprisingly, were founded in the U.S. in the 1980s and thought to have about 130 members in Germany. The United States, famous, really good at racism and hate. We can export anything if it's violent. Right-wing extremist remains the biggest extremist threat to our democracy. That's why we continue to act decisively, said German Interior Minister Nancy Faeser. The key goal of the skinhead group was to use concerts to spread its far-right ideology. It goes on, but you can read that over there at thebbc.com if you're so inclined.
So it's
a sad time. Good that they're gone. A family says a 14-year-old daughter discovered an iPhone taped to the back of a toilet seat on a flight to Boston. This is probably the worst possible, the laziest bathroom cam story I've ever heard. The family of a 14-year-old girl who allegedly discovered an iPhone taped to the back of a toilet seat on a recent flight from Charlotte to Boston said they believe she was targeted by a member of the crew. During the September 2nd American Airlines flight 1441, the girl was told by a male member of the crew to use the first-class bathroom. The crew member entered just before the 14-year-old, told her the seat was broken but not to worry about it, and then re-entered the bathroom after she left. After using the toilet, the girl realized that a largely obscured iPhone had been affixed to the back of the toilet seat, apparently to record her. She took a picture of this with her own phone before leaving the bathroom. These events have left our daughter and entire family shocked and disturbed, the family wrote in a statement. A lawyer representing the family said they haven't yet filed a lawsuit. Law enforcement officers did meet the plane at the gate and take a flight attendant off of the plane. An FBI spokesperson didn't comment at the time, and an email to the FBI was not immediately returned. They taped their iPhone to the bottom of a toilet seat and then told them that the seat was broken. I guess that's a good ad for the durability of the phone, that they're like, oh yeah, go ahead and just sit on top of my phone. Don't worry. I'm sure you won't pee on it. Anyway, gross. A doomsday cult has been accused of child abuse. An obscure religious movement believed to be promoting an imminent end-of-the-world ideology has been accused of engaging in, you guessed it, sexual violence and forced marriage of its members, including children. The Socorro Bayanihan Services, which was originally a civic organization, morphed into a quasi-religious group that is also allegedly involved in extorting money from its members as well as the drug trade in the town of Socorro in the island of Mindanao. The organization, now known as Omega de Solonera, has at least 3,500 members, including 1,580 children. They are reportedly sequestered in a mountain enclave, heavily guarded by its members. It's a harrowing tale of assault, violence, child abuse, forced marriage, perpetrated on minors by a cult. The cult is armed and dangerous. Eight children have at least recently managed to escape from the mountain community and provided harrowing first-person testimonies. So, they're there. And it's just kind of like, they know they're there, but there's no word on how they're going to get them out. A senior member of the group denied the allegations and said it was ready to face any investigation. So if you haven't lost hope in humanity yet, here's some more. A homeless Idaho man has been paralyzed after being shot by police trying to evict him from living in a public forest. That's right. Out in the West, the population density is really low, and yet we still have homelessness. And a lot of people live in their cars or live out just permanently camping in public lands, like public forests and stuff like that. But that's not cool with the U.S. government. They want you to be giving them money. I'm sorry, the man said, lying shirtless and bloodied in the mud near his empty wheelchair. I did what he said, put the gun down, he just took a shot. I didn't know you guys were cops. On May 19th, a multiple agency raid in Idaho to evict a homeless family for misdemeanor charges of overstaying on a public forest land took a disastrous turn when the police shot Brooks Roberts over 10 times, leaving him paralyzed from the waist down. The raid in Payette National Forest began when plainclothes officers approached the trailer where the family lived, posing as motorists who needed help jump-starting their car. When his brother came out to assist the men, they put him in handcuffs and informed him he was under arrest, prompting him to scream for help. When Roberts wheeled out to check on the commotion while holding a pistol, police sirens went off, but police officers didn't identify themselves before they showered him with bullets. So he's now seeking $50 million against the government for lost future earnings because of the injuries. Federal officials have declined to comment on the case. For every good cop, there's probably 10 or 20 bad cops. Who knows? It's a big problem. We gotta figure it out. Elon Musk is saying that Twitter could charge all users subscription fees. The millionaire also said the platform has 550 million monthly users. Elon Musk has indicated that his social media website is considered charging all users for accessing the platform. He said that erecting a paywall around the business would ward off the bots, automated accounts that have become a bugbear for Musk. Speaking in a meeting with Benjamin Netanyahu, the Tesla CEO and world's richest person suggested that X was going to charge its user base. Currently, Twitter only charges for its subscription service, which offers perks like a verified checkmark. So that's going on. So anyway, if you would like, you can join SDF's Mastodon, Lemmy instance, and all the other slow federated stuff. Just go to sdf.org, go to the wiki. There's all sorts of details about that. There's only about 2 minutes to go before we get to the Dubious Goals Committee, so I'll give you just the remaining headlines real quick. Energo Atom sends its first batch of Ukrainian mined uranium to Canada to be refined there. A U.S. university is building facility for a first-of-its-kind research reactor. The Galen Max Dillard Science and Engineering Research Center at Abilene Christian University, a religious school in Texas, will host the Nuclear Energy Experimental Testing Laboratory, or NEXT Lab, and a first-of-its-kind advanced reactor facility. I guess that's all the time we got.
Well, that sound means that our time's come to an end. Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow and every weekday, Monday through Friday, before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe at 1900 UTC. Talk to you then.